Good morning from Locust Grove. I'm Pastor Joe Brazino, pastor of Locust Grove Church, and I want to wish all you mothers a wonderful and blessed Mother's Day. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for all you do for your children, and I understand that as a father, that's not my holiday yet, and gentlemen, it's not ours yet, but as a mother, you never quit mothering. You still coach, you still guide, you still kind of give some advice when asked upon, and you still pray for your kids, and you still do so much. So thank you from the bottom of our hearts. May you have a very blessed day today. You mean so much to us here at Locust Grove. God bless you. This morning, we're going to begin a brand new series of messages that I've had on my heart for, gosh, I'd say probably the last couple months, 2 to 3 months. You know, it's just kind of percolating in there. And in prayer, I got the release of the Lord to pursue this subject from the Bible. So if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to read one verse of Scripture which will launch us into this great understanding that will help you in your relationship with God through Christ. And it has been incredibly helpful to me in my relationship with the Lord, and I pray it be that to you. I'm going to be doing a lot of teaching, so I might be a little more methodical than just the preaching aspect, but how many of us know that we learn and grow through the teaching and ministry of the Word? So if you're in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to read one verse of Scripture, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessed word. Thank you for the richness, the life that resides in your word. And Father, I give you thanks for your Holy Spirit that takes these words of life, ministers them to our hearts and our minds. Help us to understand you better. Help us to understand your ways more. Help us to understand our privileges in Christ Jesus, Lord. And we thank you for this, that you would communicate these to your people this morning, God. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Did you know that in baseball, not every batter has the same strike zone as any other batter? Did you know that? Every batter has a different strike zone. You know, because you have different heights. I remember watching a documentary once where there was this really short guy that joined a baseball team. And I think he made it to the minor leagues. And he was a good hitter, and he had like maybe a 280 batting average, and was a good fielder as well. But because of his short height, pitchers had the hardest time pitching to him because he would crouch so low at the home plate when he was up to bat that it provided the pitchers a very, very small window of what his strike zone was. Now, I think that's very interesting. I think the manager of that baseball team used that strategically against their opponent, you know, against his opponent on the other team, the pitcher. And I say that to say that, you know, that in the Christian life, let me say this first, we have liberties in Christ, all right? Paul the Apostle says this much in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1, he says, stand fast. In other words, be strong, stand firm, don't be swayed. He said, stand firm, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Are you convinced as a believer, as a follower of Jesus Christ, that you are free in Christ? That you have freedoms? You don't have freedoms to sin. No, that's not a freedom. That's another word we'll look at this morning. But we have liberty. We are to stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has set us free. So let me write this down on a piece of paper just to make this teaching a little more fleshed out, a little easier to understand. Excuse my writing. There we go. The first word I want us to look at is liberty. Christ has purchased liberty for us. You know, once we were slaves to sin, And God freed us through Christ. And so he wants us to be free. He wants us to stand firm in that liberty. And some of you might be wondering, well, what kind of liberties do we have? Well, there are many, many, many liberties in the Christian life. And if we're not careful, church family, you know, the second half of the verse can apply to us. Because let's read that second half. And he says, do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Now, let me break that down for you. If you read the book of Galatians, you quickly find out that the yoke of bondage that Paul the Apostle is referring to is another word that begins with a letter L. Let me write that one for you. Here it be. Legalism. Legalism. So we're to stand firm here. We're supposed to stand firm in our liberty and not be entangled again, listen carefully, to the bondage of legalism. Let me give you a working definition of what legalism is. Legalism, listen carefully, is man-made rules that were not originally found, listen carefully, were not originally found in within the first guidelines, the first commandments, the Ten Commandments. You know, those ten ones, those are the arteries. They are the life arteries of our spiritual well-being. Would you say amen to that? I mean, they are the lifeblood of our spiritual health. And if we don't keep those ten, we begin to suffer. We begin to disobey God, and we, you know, our fellowship with God is then all janked up and kind of on again, off again, and it won't be as uninterrupted as it can be if we obey Him. Because listen carefully, church family, in simple childlike obedience to God's commandments lies liberty. Liberty is important, but don't let somebody start adding addendums to the commandments or start adding addendums to the principles of God. Now, here's a funny one that we have kind of drawn up and assumed. A lot of people who don't read the Bible, I pray you do. And if you don't, you know, it's never too late to start. I would encourage you to begin with the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. Work all your way through the entire Gospel, and it'll really be a blessing to you. But, you know, a lot of people say God helps those who help themselves. And they say that's in the Bible somewhere. Well, that's not in the Bible somewhere. Or that infamous quote, you know, that godliness is next to cleanliness. They say that's in the Bible. No, that's not in the Bible. My personal opinion, it should be in the Bible. But it's not. I think it's a Benjamin Franklin quote that was found on Poor Richard's almanac, something to that effect. That's the real source, not the Bible. So what happens is men begin to write further, in an attempt to further define or further explain God's commandments, they begin to water them down and or begin to make them more strict and more harsh, not really capturing the intent of the command that was intended to bring us life, liberty, and enjoyment in our lives. But as we'll see shortly, people misconstrue the command and they start adding stuff to the command that it's not even there. Let me give you one I know when I say this is going to be controversial, and I came prepared to explain myself. You know, the Bible does not say you cannot drink alcohol. It does not say that. I'm telling you right now, the New Testament does not say that. I can give you all the quotations of wine within the New Testament, and nowhere will it say do not drink wine, period. It says, do not be drunk with wine. Another one, you know, as Paul the Apostle was instructing Timothy on the elders and the overseers of the flock, he said they should not be given, this is 1 Timothy chapter 3, they should not be given too much wine. It didn't say they should not drink wine. It says they should not be given too much wine. In other words, don't get drunk. see what I'm saying? Now, I know the argument comes up saying that, you know, well, a lot of people are predisposed genetically to become susceptible to the ravages of alcohol. And that is true, but not everybody. Can I tell you this morning that there are a lot of people I know, a lot of godly people that have a lot of Christ-likeness about them, that drink wine in moderation. And you know, far be it from me to judge them or to prejudge them, because they are kind, they're gentle. I see a lot of Jesus in them. Can I be truthful with you this morning, church family? I see more Jesus in them than I see in those Pharisaical people that want to squelch out all alcohol from the face of the earth. I do. I see more Jesus in those who some people call the sipping saints. They say that so judgmentally too. Well, okay, baby, if you want to judge alcohol, can we talk about food in moderation too? I thought so. I just, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, right? My fam, can I get a witness in the house, in your house, church at home? Anyway, so I say that to say is that people will add on to things that are not found in the Bible, and we preach them with authority, and we preach them with great, like a moral platform. Matter of factly, we say it. We wag the fingers, we wag the tongues, we shoot from the hip and from the lip. And, you know, we're very convicted, but often you see people that do that. Sometimes they themselves don't even live up to that. They don't live up to their own man-made standards. All right, I've gone to meddling. So we've got to be careful, church family. We've got to live in liberty. You have liberties in Christ, but don't let other people put you under the bondage of legalism. Okay? Now, that's not where this message ends. There's yet a third L that is also detrimental, as lethal as legalism, so this word is as well. How about this one? License. Begins with the word L. What do I mean by license? You know, people say, well, you know, I'm free in Christ. I'm going to go do whatever I want. I'm going to go get plastered. Really? That's not what God says. He says, you know, you can't overdo it. You can't get plastered. You should not be a slave to alcohol. Alcohol should not always be, should not, period, be determining your moods, your words, your speech, your actions, foolishness from our lives. It should not be doing that. But it's very imperative, church family, that we not go this way, even as we could go this way. You see that both too much to the right, to my right, your left, too much to my left, your right, can lead in bondage. Either way, legalism or license. We are to, the scripture that we read in Galatians 5:1 says we are to stand firm in the liberty that Christ has set us free. All right, now we've got to understand that. That is very, very important. Turn in your Bible with me to Galatians chapter 3, please. Not Galatians, I'm sorry. To Genesis chapter, let's do chapter 2, please. Genesis chapter 2, and I'm going to illustrate this dynamic. I want you to see it from Scripture. All right? These are the instructions that the Lord gave Adam when he had created Adam. And I'm going to keep my trusty words here. And we're going to see an instruction that the Lord gave Adam, all right? So we're here in Genesis chapter 2. And, okay, let's begin reading with verse 15 of Genesis 2. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. Now, ladies, notice carefully, before God gave the man a woman, he gave him a J-O-B. I'm still wanting you to say amen at your house. Come on, give me a better amen. Amen? Why do you put up with that? God gave the man a job before he ever gave her a woman. Enough said. All right, this is what I like about freestyle preaching is you can chase any little rabbit you want and just burn them to smithereens. All right. Notice verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat. How? You may freely eat. What is this? This is liberty. He said, Adam, they're all, look at all the good trees there are. Eat to your heart's content. Eat freely. There are no calories, Adam. There are no fat grams. That'll come after your wife plunges all of you guys in the one. I shouldn't say that. Sorry, ladies. Not on Mother's Day. After you, Adam, plunged the whole of the human race into this thing called sin, the Lord says, you may freely eat. What is that called? Liberty. It's okay to eat freely. Perhaps you're a Christian here. Listen, my friend, I'm going to tell you, some of you are so buttoned up. You need to lighten up and not be so buttoned up, fearing that God will pour his wrath on you. Friend, you are a child of God. Jesus sustained the full brunt of God's wrath on your behalf. There is no more wrath left for you. Amen to that. Now, so God has called us to freely eat of the good things and not just stay away from the bad things. Notice verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, verse 17, you shall not eat. Notice, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely what? You shall surely die. So that is a commandment. There was a command, two commands there. Freely eat, but don't eat of that one tree. I mean, I've got to believe that the Garden of Eden, by the way, Eden means pleasure. It was a garden of pleasure. A lot of people equate pleasure with doing the wrong thing. Baby, that's a lie from the pit of hell. There are some very good pleasures in life that are God-honoring that God created for your enjoyment. Do you believe that? You should. It's called liberties in Christ. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Now we're going to see the first recorded incident in the Bible of legalism. All right? Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, notice carefully, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. That was correct. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, which is correct. But notice she went on to add to that, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Real quick quiz, open book quiz. Did God ever tell Adam, you cannot touch it? He just said, you cannot eat it. So poor Eve had a misunderstanding. She said, you can't just eat the tree. We cannot eat the tree. True. But then she said, neither shall we touch it, because in touching it, we'll die. Did God say that? God did not say that. You see, that's the first recorded incident of legalism in the Bible. See how it's so part of human nature? We want to keep adding rules, these small little rules, this fine print that says, you know, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do this and you can't do that. Man, I'm telling you what, church family, this is one thing that has turned off a lot of unbelievers from Jesus Christ. That has robbed Jesus, the way we have represented Christ, has robbed Jesus of his glory, has robbed Jesus of his winsomeness, has robbed Jesus of his charm. Not that he lacks any of that, but we, the church, have misrepresented him. We have robbed him, and we have laid burdens on people, burdens of, not license, here we go, burdens of legalism. We have laid burdens of legalism. We said, you can't do this, women. You can't wear pants. Well, that's an oldie but a goodie. I don't mean a good as in it was good. But, you know, long gone are the days, and thank God they are, you know, that they're gone, that women couldn't wear pants to church. It was just only dresses. I'm not knocking your denomination, baby. Don't get mad at me. I'm just trying to preach the word and make it relevant, okay? By the same token, while I'm in this vein of thought, you know, I think sometimes churches that try to avoid legalism, like the plague, they run headlong, they plunge headlong into license. Do you catch my vibe? The woman was caught up in legalism. She said, we can't touch the tree. That's not what God said. You see, it's adding these things, church family. Let me quote Max Lucado to you. I once heard him say, or read in a book, when it was, he's a great author. He said, legalism is my making, my opinion, your burden. Opinions are a dime a dozen. Every one of us, you know, they say that opinions are like nostrils. Every one of us has a couple. But we've got to be very careful, church family, that we don't assert opinions as authoritative, that we assert the Word of God always and only the Word of God as the truth. All right? Now, this is not where this account stops, because look at what Satan says to the woman. He says here in Genesis 3, I went a little too far, I was in 4. He says here, and then the serpent, in verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What is Satan encouraging Adam and Eve to do? God said no, but you do it anyway. God's an old fuddy-duddy. What does God know anyway? You know, we're a people that we're independent, we're free, we're a sovereign state, we're a sovereign nation. No, this nation was founded as a nation under God. Amen. And listen, when we defy the laws of God, we're going to plunge headlong into bondage, into license. License is bondage. If you don't believe me, friends, as a pastor, I've been in ministry almost 30 years full time, and I've had many a people in my office crying their eyes out, wishing they had not done what they did, because now the chickens have come home to roost, and they're wishing that God would cancel out the consequences. Let me fill you in, my friend. God loves you. God will forgive you. He will, even when you do things deliberately. But I'm telling you right now, you know, I'll just quote you the scripture, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. God cannot be mocked. Whatever a person sows, that shall they reap. And then you start blaming God for your crazy decisions. Oh, let's be mature and responsible and accept our consequences, because they were our decision to make. All right, church family, I say that in love. I say that firmly. But listen, we've got to be very careful. No wonder the Bible says, stand firm in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Now, I want to close with this. Now, it's important, church family, that we understand this. We're going back to the batter. Every one of us, our liberties do not all look the same. We're going to look at this next week with detail. Our liberties are not all the same. Okay? I have Christian friends that have gotten facial rejuvenation. So I want to encourage you, you know, but other Christians have had work done. And you know what? I can't judge them. I cannot judge them. Nowhere in the Bible does it say, thou shalt not go to Dr. 90210. You can't judge them. You can't criticize them. You can't find fault with that. Quickly, another thing is comfort zone. We all have different comfort zones about our convictions. We have different comfort zones about our convictions. You know, you might be comfortable with doing certain things, and that's cool. Other people might be comfortable with doing other stuff, so long as they don't outright violate God's word. Did you hear me say that? So long as they don't outright violate God's word, they're not in the wrong, and you're not in the wrong. But Christian, we've got to be very careful that we do not overstep our boundaries, and just because someone is exercising their liberties that might not be our liberties, listen, We cannot put a bullseye on them. We cannot put a target on them and then go wailing on them because they've done wrong. No, that's not found in the Word. Friends, can we just stick to the Word of God instead of what we think, instead of what we're comfortable with? You know, some people are comfortable watching PG movies only. And that's great. Other families only watch G movies for the kids. That's great. You know, some Christians are okay with watching some R-rated movies. Friend, that's their liberty. I think I lost half of you there on that one. Well, we're going to have talk with that preacher. My friends, let me remind you, the Passion of the Christ was R-rated, okay? So put your stones down. Don't stone me to death. See what I'm saying, church family? We've got to be very careful with our... Also, another one is our preferences. Some of us don't prefer to listen to secular music. I like some secular music, not all. I like some secular music. I think it's fun. The lyrics are pretty cool. You know, it's not bad. I'll say this, okay? And here's another controversial comment I'm going to make here. And that is... Some secular music is more harmless than some Christian music. Ah, I bet that got your attention. Huh? What about those Christian songs that say, you know, I'm the thorn on your crown, I'm the sweat on your brow, but you love me anyway. Really? Is that the way God treats his children? No, he says we are heirs of God, Romans chapter 8. And I'm quoting the chapter so you can look it up. Because all you've got, all you're giving me is song lyrics that don't square with the scripture. I'm giving you the word of God. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Huh? Okay, put that in your pipe and take a country whiff. See, my family? Let's be careful, but let's be open to pursue, to stand firm in these that Christ has given us. Let's pray. Holy Father, what an honor it is to bring your word. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, God, for being on our side. Father, thank you when we err, when we veer off to one way, one side or the other. Jesus said, you said that narrow is the path that leads to life. Broad is the path on either side, to the right or to the left. Broad is the path that leads to destruction. Legalism leads to destruction and bondage. License leads to destruction and bondage. Father, help us to find our liberty zone, our proper strike zone, and feel comfortable in that, God. In Jesus we pray. Amen.